this is Joyce. I'm not a stranger to social media. I've been on social media for, I guess, about 7 years, starting with WordPress. However, this is a new endeavor for me. Everyone says podcasts are the way to go. And my thought is you ought to know who I am so that you know why I'm intensely interested in facts and I'm able to bring you the facts and the solutions to problems in society that I've identified. I am America Speaks, the voice of Joyce. That's how I'm known on all the social media platforms. My card says that I'm able to provide macro policy solutions for economic inequality and environmental sustainability. It's a very big topic, and before I get into it, I'd like you to know, as I said, who am I and why am I qualified to discuss these issues. I'd also like you to know that I'm used to interacting with my audience. I started on Periscope Live, I guess about 6 months after they debuted, and I used it successfully for at least 3 or more years. And now it's time to change. Everyone is listening to podcasts, and this is the next step for me in activism, trying to reach a larger audience for change. In everything that I've done, I've changed the culture that I've been in. I started life as a biochemist. I have a master's in biochemistry from Long Island University and a PhD without thesis from Cornell Medical Center right here in New York City. I am passionate about science and technology. I'm passionate about climate change and social justice issues. However, I'm a scientist and a capitalist. And I've always been a capitalist with a social conscience. So, my first job was with Ford Motor Company. I was hired as their expert in paint from 1976 to 1979. I followed their mandate when they and I both realized that Henry Ford was indeed behind the integration of 300 new products that would make the Ford motor cars anti-corrosive. Having a scientific background, I was able to prepare the good manufacturing standards that they required. I was able to blue sky several instrumentations that they needed to assure that their spray booths were indeed balanced and would paint their cars appropriately. And in the process, I redesigned all sheet metal for both cars and trucks, receiving a commendation from the Ford Operating Committee. None of this could have happened without upper management's consent, and also with the consent of the people on the line who were now going to do work differently. And so this probably was the beginning of activism for me. I was in my 30s. I was the only woman, so I can't say anything about gender equality or inequality. I was paid well, and we accomplished our task. We did indeed utilize the 300 products. We watch the rollouts in every single assembly plant in North America, all 21 of them. I only left Ford because I wanted to be a plant manager. And 45 years ago, just like in science when I was working on my thesis, it was probably 45 years too early. And at Ford, there was no way they were going to put me on a path to plant management. So I left and I went to Pfizer Pharmaceuticals. And again, I was asked to look at their culture, look at their product, and determine what I could do to make their systems work better and to also make it a profitable entity so that they could eventually take the diagnostic department that I headed up and sell it to Werner Lambert. Unlike today, we valued our employees. I had open hours for counseling. We sent people for alcohol rehabilitation programs, even if it meant sending them to an upscale retreat in the South. But we cared deeply about our labor force and made sure that they were well treated and well paid. I stayed at Pfizer for 3 years also. I was quite happy there. And then I was recruited to Bankers Trust, a totally different industry than any of the industries I had been in before. One would say, why would I be at Bankers Trust? At Bankers Trust, it was just like any other industry. I made policy for the bank. I was in charge of their customer statement. And I also was in charge of overnight investment of Fed funds. Once again, a culture change was necessary. I found out that working close to money meant that people had less accountability and less understanding of the value of their work and of the value of the money that was involved. Bankers was not dealing with consumer customers. We were dealing as a merchant bank with countries. And it came to my attention that loan officers would come to our computer systems operators who are going to roll out the customer statements for the month, and they were going to tell them what numbers to input into the system. There was zero accountability for those numbers. And so I went to Charlie Sanford, who was the chairman of the board of Bankers, and asked him if he wanted this to continue occurring. And he did not. And so I had accountability up to the executive vice president. Charlie was behind it. He thought, just like I thought, that we should know what the bank's operating line was. I was hired to find the losses on the books of the bank, and I did so as part of my mission. Probably did my job too well. Didn't make me a very popular individual. I hired 8 young people directly out of college, some of whom I've met recently. They're a good 20 years younger than I am. And I provided them with their first job, and I was very proud. When I left Bankers, Bankers was in a better shape than it had been in when I came there, though Mary Jo White found the same accounting fraud that I had found 15 years earlier. But I took all of the executive information that I had garnered, and I took it to the family business, and I ran a very successful flooring contracting concern for almost 25 years, up until the crash of 2008. I had many immigrants come through my doors. It didn't matter to me. The only thing that mattered was, could you do the job? Could you do it right the first time? And make sure that we didn't have to go back. And we never did. I paid my men well. We negotiated the pricing. They had sick leave. They had health care. They had vacation time. It wasn't like today. We didn't have ghost workers. There was a definition of what is a contractor. And that was someone who would work for other people in your industry, who would negotiate their price and tell you what were the hours that they were available or the days that they were available to work for you. There was no such concept of a ghost worker or a gig economy. People were valued. And that's the background that I came from as a capitalist. The crash of 2008 changed everything. By the time the crash occurred, we were told what we should be charging. And we were competing against national labor shops that were paying men $50 to $75 a day. I looked at the old sheets that my dad and mother had saved on what they had paid labor. Labor prices had actually gone back to 1975 levels. My guys could not keep their homes, let alone afford to go to the high-rise buildings that we usually serviced in New York City. I felt I would be smart, and so we weren't working for developers, unless we were working for major corporations like Avalon Bay, Equity Residential, Archstone Smith, national corporations, and we could no longer compete. By 2013, I had exited the business and gone into activism full time. I've never stopped, and it consumes me 24 hours a day. So what I do to make sure that I am delivering facts to you, who I hope you'll become my new followers, is that I go to conferences like the Ford Foundation, Financial Times, I've just been certified in renewable energy, trends, and finance, and I stay up to date on all the latest technologies, even algorithms that I have no background in. But I think that's what's important to bring to you, my followers, the latest information that you have so that you know how our world can change. It can't be just grassroots only. It's got to be top down and bottom up. That's how I did it in the corporate world. That's how I'm sure it has to occur here and any country that wants to see real change and wants to reverse their state of inequality. You can find me on thevoiceofjoyce.net, and also, so that we can be interactive, I'm happy to provide you with an email so that you can connect with me directly, and I will indeed respond. It's thevoiceofjoyce@earthlink.net. I'm not used to recording in this way or listening to podcasts, though I know this is the current trend. So I'll try to keep up with everything. And if you write me, I will respond to your comments, and I will dedicate the show, whatever those podcasts are coming up, to whoever does ask me specific questions. I will definitely meet your expertise, your expectation of my expertise. What I don't know, you better believe I'll research so that I will be able to answer your questions. So, in closing, let me say it's been a pleasure. I have much to say over the coming weeks. I hope to be on at least once a week. And I will probably use the next broadcast to tell you why I think an all-inclusive tent is part of my DNA. And I would like to discuss that before we discuss the issues that affect us here in America and globally. Because we're one planet, and what we do here affects everyone in the world.